Attention musicians, wouldn't you like to hear your music on vinyl, even if it was just one copy of a vinyl album? Well, you can do that. The fine folks at Austin Signal can help you do that. Austin Signal is a high-quality recording studio and vinyl cutting facility located 15 minutes outside of Austin. In addition to traditional modern recording services, the studio specializes in some very unique offerings, including short-run vinyl production, single mic recording, and direct-to-disc recording. I've had some vinyl cut there, and they do an amazing job. Just go to austinsignal.com, click on How Did I Get Here in their menu, or just follow the link in the text of this podcast. When you get to our page, enter the promo code HDIGH for 10% off vinyl cutting. That's right, 10% off. That's promo code HDIGH, like How Did I Get Here. Today's featured vinyl cut from Austin Signal is from Austin artist and How Did I Get Here favorite Charlie Fay and the Fayettes from their latest album, The Whole Shebang. Go to austinsignal.com, gang. Let's get down.
Try aiming high. In case you hadn't heard, I'm the early bird, and the cream rises to the top. If a little seed of stubborn doubt tries to tell me what I'm all about, all I gotta do is remind myself that the cream rises to the top.
How did I get here? And now here is your host, I'm Howdy.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a great week, whatever it is you did this week. Full disclosure, gang, I'm doing this intro on the Sunday before the show comes out. I have a very busy week. I got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of songwriting things. I wanted to put my podcast together on Sunday, let them come out automatically, and give myself the freedom to just be creative all week. All right? So, I'll fill you in on all that on Tuesday's show, tell you everything that's going on. Real quick, gang, if you're listening to this show the day that it comes out, Friday, August 2nd, Skyrocket, the band that I'm in, will be playing tonight at Mercer Street Dance Hall in Dripping Springs, Texas. So if you live in the Hill Country, come on out, enjoy the show. It's always a good time. We start at 8. It's an early show, 8 to 11. Come on out, party down with Skyrocket, the band at Mercer Street Dance Hall tonight, Friday, August 2nd. Okay? I have a great show for you guys today. Great show. My friend Jenny Ronan, who manages Eric Tesmer and Leon III, we were talking on the phone one day and she was telling me about this great band, Nane. And I was like, oh, I haven't heard these guys. She's like, well, they don't have any music like officially out. They have one song called Do It Alone on YouTube, but these guys are great. So I checked them out. At first, I was like, man, these guys don't even have a record out. What the heck? Then I started finding out what was going on with them. They're making a record with Adrian Quesada and my man, John Spies. So that's exciting. And that will be coming out in 2020. But Daniel Sahad and Ian Green from the band Nane are my guests on the show today. They've been playing a lot of shows. You can find them at nanetheband.com. They're actually opening for the Black Pumas here in Austin on August 24th at the Mohawk. So go to nanetheband.com. We have a fantastic conversation. Turns out Daniel Sahad and Ian Green, both awesome dudes. They've gotten a lot of really great opportunities and they've seized them. And also they have the music and the chops to back up, you know, all these great opportunities. So, you know, when this business, any door that opens, you got to go through it, man. And you got to hope that you're ready to go through it. And even though these guys have been afforded some really fantastic opportunities, they're cognizant of it, they're grateful for it, and they've risen to the occasion. So enjoy my conversation with these two amazing artists, Daniel Sahad and Ian Green, the band Nane. Find them at nanetheband.com. And you can find their song, Do It Alone, on YouTube. You'll hear it on here, but you can go find it on YouTube, all right? So without further ado, gang, enjoy my conversation with Daniel and Ian from the band Nane. Let's get down. Three, two,
You got a lot of toys in here, man.
Yeah, I've got other ones over here, too.
Is that an Elliott Smith set list?
That is Elliott Smith's set list. Like, his actual set list.
That's awesome.
Yeah. A tour manager of mine took it from him when he was working a show that he played and knew I was a big fan. And then my cousins had it framed, and they made me a CD with all those songs in that order, which I thought was sweet.
That's so cool.
That's amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything means nothing to me to end the set. Ooh.
Yeah. That guy wasn't light on being heavy.
Not at all.
Well put.
He had some heavy shit going on. Hey, so did you guys are recording this record with Adrian?
Yes, yeah.
Holy shit, man.
He's engineering our record. He's been awesome. Yeah, Electric Deluxe is just a badass studio, man.
And he's a badass.
He's a badass human.
Human and badass just with music and production.
Yeah, it really kind of took everything to the next level working there. Having him engineer was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then John Spies was producing the album.
Oh, yeah.
Drummer for...
Got the Spies.
He's been on here.
Yeah, baby.
Heard his episode.
I love that dude.
Yeah, he's awesome. He also completely brought those songs to another level.
Yeah, what he did to the arrangements is, you know, beyond what we could have imagined. We all tried to produce it to the best of our ability.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he came in and just, I mean, he's another member of the band, you know?
Yeah, that's the way it
he
should
just
be.
He just won't play with us.
Right, and also, like, he doesn't have to deal with what happens after he hands you the record. Wow. He's like, exactly. You're welcome, bros. And he just gets to go to some shows and have a good time. He doesn't have to be in the van fighting with dudes.
Yeah, we were actually just talking about that on the way here. We were like, man... We're about to get a lot more tired of each other than we already are, but not in a bad way. Not
just because we have plans to, you know,
how long have you two been knowing each other?
Well, we got to know each other per friend suggestion about my sophomore junior year in college, so maybe 5 years now.
Five years.
Yeah. We've been hanging out and we just played music together, and we played a few covers just for our friends in college. And you know, we got together and one night after a few drinks, we're like, we should start a band.
Let's do something.
We should start
a band. No one's thought of that.
Because when we would sit down, right, it was the first.
Yeah, but like,
so
look
bold.
What happens when some people do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Can be
look
fun.
At Black Pumas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? You know, those guys were like, oh, let's start a band. Like Adrian. Like, probably.
Right?
I don't know how Adrian answered that question. Like. You know, Eric was probably like, hey, let's start a band. He's like, all right, so I'm in like 82 bands. Are we going to be playing a lot?
I've got 15 minutes on Thursday.
How many songs can we get done in that 15 minutes?
Yeah.
A lot, apparently.
Apparently. And
amazing
record.
Songs, too.
Yeah.
Incredible songs.
So you guys met, started playing a little bit, and started a band.
Right. Well, I mean, we reacted to each other so well. Like, he would just start playing something, and I'm very much so, like, the vessel method of writing, where it's like whatever comes up, comes out, and we realized just immediately how much chemistry we had together.
Yeah.
And so we're like, we should just do this. We wrote some songs, and we spent a year developing songs and collecting the best players we could find, yeah, one at a time.
Our bass player, Scott, it's also been there from the beginning. He's a guy I'd played in few bands throughout the years, and immediately was like, you know, Scott needs to be the bass player. And he worked incredibly well with us from day one. Was it New Year's Day?
It was New Year's Day.
2018?
Yeah.
I think that was the first day we wrote. And it just immediately was like, bam, we're hitting the ground
and
running.
So I don't know the rest of the tunes, but the tune Do It Alone, fucking great. And you recorded that live with Matt. Matt's been on the show.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
a great
yeah.
dude. Yeah,
we recorded it with Matt.
It's a great studio.
He's a great studio. It's beautiful, and he's such a talented engineer. I actually had never been to that studio before that, and I didn't realize this thing is like, I just hadn't even conceptualized it. I mean, it's gorgeous. It's filled with all this vintage gear. That thing's got to be worth so much money.
It's a
and
cool
his
dude.
Ear is worth even yeah. more.
Yeah, that yeah. was super cool to like.
I've never actually been there, but I've seen pictures.
Oh, it's bad.
I need to go there.
It's yeah. sick.
I need to go there and record.
Yeah, so that was actually the first song we wrote together. That's why we recorded that one, because it's not going to be on the record.
It's not?
No.
Dude, that song is like on fire, dude. That song is like what rock and roll is all about,
thanks.
Man.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say, is like, if it's just one tune, like at first, when Jenny told me about you guys, And she's like, oh, yeah, you got to check these guys out. I'm like, they don't even have a fucking record. And then I just went to your YouTube link before I wrote her back a thing saying they don't even have a fucking record. Like, what are you sending me, some weird band that like doesn't even like have music? And so I went and saw that song and I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, these guys, they don't really need a hold. Like, they could, like, as long as you have that song, then you can, then you're cool with me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know what that means, but you're definitely cool with
me.
We've
been fortunate to kind of have a good energy surrounding this whole thing and being able to consistently see people.
Yeah. I was just about to say that I know that there's got to be some Austin musicians here, because as much as and supportive and be for, you know, behind each other we all are, and inclusive we can all be, there is the person right now going like, they're opening for fucking Black Pumas, they don't even have a fucking record, you know what I mean? Like,
they don't even have a song out?
Right now is on the trail, like, very angry with you guys.
And I don't blame them. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, hey, man, you know what? If your other songs are better than that one to go on a record that this one's not going on, then fuck me, dude. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry to drop so many F-bombs, but I'm excited.
I don't think Do It Alone holds a candle to the other songs on the record. It's not even close.
Yeah.
So let me ask you one quick question about that version of that song. Is mm-hmm. that literally the... That's live. That is
100% live. Every single aspect, except I think we went back and overdubbed a few during the during the chorus, just because we needed more voices.
I did have a question about that.
Yeah, that was the only section.
We wanted that to be stronger than just a couple of guys. I think it was just me.
It was just him.
But the band is that hot.
Every single second of the rest of it is like complete integrity intact.
Yeah, it gives me fucking goosebumps, man. That is, you guys are on fire, man.
Thank you.
That's why you get to, because you're good. So, I mean, so you guys, you got together with your bass player on the 1st of January in 2018.
Yes.
Right.
And then spent a year writing.
Right. And we kind of did it in what some call a backwards order, because we had our record written by our first show, which was January 30th, I think.
Well, that's always good to have like a record's worth of material.
January 20 something. We had the record written, you know, it hadn't been produced yet by John at the time, but we had our first show and yeah, so we were ready. That's kind of how we wanted to operate. And we had our 10 to 15 songs written.
You guys, did you rehearse a lot?
I'd say so. I mean, all of our writing sessions, which we did once every 2 weeks or so, we would rehearse our current songs. And sure, when you have four songs, it's much easier to do. And then as they grew, the sessions got longer. And but since I was so close to Ian in college and I grew so close to Scott, we were really just hanging out. You know, these were...
Yeah.
Before I started a band with Ian, we hung out, you know, almost every weekend and stuff. Too much.
Yeah, no, it's never too much. Don't worry.
Now I'm just nauseous all the time.
That's not me. That's life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
so
me.
You guys play a lot of shows and you travel and stuff. And how did you, like, how did you kind of, like, get Continental Club in Houston to...
Well, we got invited by the guy who actually introduced us to each other.
Oh, really? Okay.
He plays in a band in Houston called Wax Dream.
They're actually opening for the Black Pumas in Houston. Axelrod in Houston.
Oh, cool.
So he told me that I needed to meet Ian and vice versa. And then, you know, he actually played some covers with us in college, and when we had some parties and stuff.
What were those covers? I'd be interested
to
see.
It was like the Black Keys, George Ezra, because he had like a low, boomy kind of voice, and I did that. What else was it?
Oh,
like, what was the other bigger one?
Foster the People.
Oh, yeah,
like,
we did Foster
stuff
the People.
That people knew.
What was that song?
Pumped Up Kicks.
Yeah,
that
one.
That was the one we did. Yeah, it's a good song.
Portugal the Man song?
Yeah. I think Portugal the Man, yeah.
Oh, that one. You got a high voice too, man.
Oh, all the so that's actually hold out for the record. Most of the songs are falsetto. So
didn't even know you could do
falsetto
that.
And fuzz.
Until
that's kind of the thing. That's why you're like, Do It Alone, okay?
Man, those
it's
guys.
Not even close, man. Mm-hmm.
John kind of brought that out too. Yeah. He kind of heard your falsetto and he went, "Wait, that's what you're doing that."
Yeah.
Not the whole record, obviously. There's variety,
but
of
you're
sounds,
singing.
But.
Yeah.
I'm excited. You guys, come with like before. You don't have to leave now. We still got a lot more to talk about. But you'll come back on.
Ian's
when the
halfway
record
out
comes
the door.
Out.
For everyone listening at home, he's halfway out the door right now.
I got the car started. Yeah. Got to cool it off. It's hot.
Well, I wish I had listened to it before, because I would have something to reference. But I am excited just at the prospect. Just like probably whoever's listening is. So you guys, where was that first gig that you played?
We played, Staygold gave us, you know, the opportunity to call them a home for one of, like, two of our first three shows.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we love them. We have a debt of gratitude for them just because they hosted us we were, like, all, you know, when you start a band, the very first few shows, they're just relying on the promise that we're like, well, dude, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no proof of that.
Right. There was, what was the first? I think the first show was
How do you talk someone into that?
We had a live recording at our buddy Scott's house where we rehearsed.
So you did have something. You weren't just go like, hey, trust me, man. Look at us.
Take my word.
That first show,
we got a lot of hair.
I want to say,
bring us in
at the risk. I think we hopped on a bill at the first show. Scott was playing in another band called Wrongbird, and they're buddies of ours. And I believe that it was us having something to show, so the venue wasn't just like they don't have anything, and then them giving us a chance to kind of play that night as well, and we thank them too. But Staygold was able to be like, oh, okay, you guys can come back now.
That was
really nice.
There was well over like 200 people there, and I just remember, you know, I was just emotionally shitting my pants because I hadn't actually sang in front of a crowd like this any original songs. I didn't come from a long history of music like everybody else. And so I had been preparing for years to some degree. And
you had sung like in the room with the band. You had sung when you were up, but you'd never gotten up in front of a room full of 200 people and fronted a band, like, and you'd be a lead singer of a band.
Yeah, that's the day I was born.
But you
born.
Got that together pretty fast, man.
That's the day I was born. The rest of the pieces came together. It's true.
Yeah.
I found the rest of myself up there. And I remember outside, before the first show, I couldn't bring myself to go inside and mingle with everybody. I was pacing up and down that street. I don't know if it's Cesar Chavez or what that cross street is. And I was just trying to remember all the lyrics, like just a crazy person.
Yeah.
And I walked inside seconds before the show and, you know, delivered a performance. And but I mean, I was shaking the first two or three songs. You know, it's a very authentic human moment where I kind of had, like, you know, I could just feel myself developing and growing. And with that concept of, like, you know, trauma comes a little bit of shake and a little bit of growth and all that, you know.
Yeah,
that's kind of how I came together.
Well, you know what would be really interesting to hear is, like, just sort of like psychologically what was happening from the second before the band even started. Like, were you like,
oh, so
hey, hey everyone, hey everyone, hi, we're in an A, here it's rock and roll. You know what I mean? Like, what do you do?
You might have just jumped.
No, I think our opening song starts with a really strong guitar riff.
You're welcome.
No. Thanks to Ian. So it spoke for itself, and I just said a few words over it. But pretty much when I was on my way in, I just kind of had to convince myself and remind myself that none of this was by accident. Sometimes when you're in high-pressure situations, you forget the fact that all of the decisions in your life that you've made up to that point could have geared you and pushed you into this direction. And we sometimes think it's by accident, maybe by some Freaky Friday switch, that we're now in this predicament. And I had to think back on some events and think, no, I 100% I belong here. I live here. I'm just reclaiming, and not even just claiming for the first time the person that I was always supposed to be. So that mixed with a booming guitar from me kind of melted the rest away.
So at the end of the show, could you even remember what happened? Or were you just like seeing
red the
whole
time? No, I think I blacked out for
time?
Like 3 days. No, just kidding. No, no.
No, but I've had shows that are very intense, and the next day you wake up and you're like, it was just like intensity going back and forth between the audience and the, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't one of those situations. I feel like I remember it pretty well. And, you know, I connect with the audience so much. A lot of true, I mean, you have to come to one of the shows. You'll see.
Yeah.
So I had to be fully emotionally present. So I think that kind of forced me into even remembering it, you know, as a byproduct of that. I was truly mindful of the situation.
That's awesome. Yeah. This is going to come out later on, but are you guys playing this Saturday, the 27th or something?
Friday.
We're playing on Friday.
Oh, shit. 26. I'm playing in Houston on Friday.
No, we're actually playing. It's here. It's at Swan Dive for Hot Summer Nights.
Yeah, with
Indoor Creature, Mama Hawk.
Yeah, Subtle Motion and Chill Bill.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be fun.
Well, I can't go to that show. And I don't think I can go to the Black Puma show either, because I'll be traveling. Yeah.
We'll be around.
Okay.
Playing we Stubbs have... on the 31st as well of this month. Of July. Yeah.
What is the 31st?
I think it's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
I'll be there.
Because I leave town.
Yeah, cool. I'll come out. Yeah, I would love to come see you guys.
There's an LA band coming into town called Próxima Parada, and we're opening for them at Stubbs.
Okay, here's the thing is, like, also when I first, Jenny was telling me about you guys, she's like, oh yeah, they work with Adrian Casala, they're called Nané. And I thought this was like a fucking Latino band, like a psych, you know, a Latin psych rock band. Like these guys, whatever it is, like one of those weird, awesome, but crazy, like weed smoking electric guitar cumbia bands.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we can do that.
With fuzz.
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Not very well. We'd like to do it just drunkenly for ourselves, maybe. Maybe we can practice that.
Daniel, can I ask you a question? If the president were to demand that you go home,
I don't even know where I'd go.
You hate America. What is the origin? What's your country of origin?
I am Dominican. My parents are both Dominican, but my grandmother on my father's side is Cuban.
Cuban.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I read that in your bio, actually. Yeah. I knew that. So, and then also my great grandfather on my father's side was from Lebanon. So I'm kind of
where the Sahan comes from.
Yeah. I'm kind of this like amalgamation of like black, white, Hispanic, and Arab, you know, all come together. If I look at each of my grandparents, that's what I'm seeing. So if you tell me to go home, I'm not going anywhere.
Would be like, I don't know, dude.
I don't know where to go. Can I stay here?
I'd go to England, Scotland.
I don't know where.
Boring places.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have anything interesting to offer.
You look like you would be, and I don't mean this in a bad way. I mean this in the sweetest way ever. You would seem like you would be sent back to the set of Happy Days.
Oh, great.
Because you have a very all-American, nice guy look.
That's right.
Maybe
that's
the hair. Something with the hair.
A little bit.
It's not as kept as it should be.
Not that you look like Ron Howard, but I don't know if you remember the first season of Happy Days. I'm 50, so I remember some weird things. But the first season, he had an older brother named Chuck.
Okay. So I'm the older brother in Happy Days.
Yeah.
I've always known, deep down.
You have this Chuck Cunningham vibe,
okay.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. He's got the same Gary Coleman. He's like 63 years old, though, Ian is.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's inappropriate.
Gary Coleman, yeah. Gary Coleman.
Yeah, Gary Coleman, man.
Oh, yeah. Man, I'm sorry.
I think he passed away, didn't he? There's so many people have passed away. Art Neville passed away today.
Yeah,
you guys are Neville Brothers fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was tragic. And rest in peace to...
Yeah. All right, so you played this first gig at Swan Dive, then you get a couple more. How did you start getting the word out and getting out and like... I mean, how... Oh, shit, it's over there. How long have you guys been playing shows?
We started in late January.
Okay. Of this year.
So what is that, 6 months?
6 months.
Seven.
When did you record that video that I watched?
Is that in May?
May?
I think it was in May, early May.
So you're exponentially better from then now.
I'd like to think so, yeah.
Oh, yes. Quite a lot.
Who are you guys?
we're trying to be here.
We're trying to define that right now with our branding, I suppose.
So how did Spies come to the project?
It's a long story, I suppose.
Well, we got time.
4 or 5 years in the making.
Yeah.
So I actually am living with his daughter, Georgia.
Mm.
She's great. She is my girlfriend. That's why she's also even better than a roommate.
Yeah.
I've been playing music my whole life, but I didn't know her dad. I maybe knew he was a musician or something and played in some bands. And then, of course, throughout the years of us being in a relationship, I got to know him a bit better. And then one day she kind of told me, hey, he's looking to like work with young bands or something, like you should talk to him. I was like, oh, no way, are you kidding me? Like, that's so
like
weird.
I'm like
so
having to talk to her dad anyway, isn't it? Because I'm thinking about it and I'm like, oh yeah, I don't even know Spies on that level. He's a bro of mine.
Exactly.
You know
and
what
I
mean?
I didn't feel like I was even bro level at that point. I was like still trying to be the impressive boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then she was telling me to do that because, you know, she knows her dad and she's like, oh, it's fine. Like, you can talk to him. I'm like, no, I don't know. The guy's like 6'5" and like big beard.
I feel like he would eat your face if he was angry with you.
His hands are like bigger than pans. Like, just one punch.
And I'm sitting there
lights
like,
out.
Oh, dude. I don't know
especially
about that.
Especially with Ian's like,
I don't want to get punched.
Russian Happy Days frame.
My Happy Days frame.
Lights out.
The deck. And that happened. No, so that was never on the table for me. Kind of like, not at all. Especially since there was nothing really going on. But then this started to take shape. And Daniel was kind of like, let's use that. You know, let's do that. That's let's talk to him. That's a good person to know. He's gonna
an incredibly talented musician, and I encourage you. And let's talk to him and see if he'd be interested in working with us.
Yeah,
and he was given.
And he wouldn't just say yes. I'd like to think he's definitely a guy who would, you know, take the time to vet what he was getting into and determine.
Oh, I don't think he would put his name on shit he didn't.
Yeah. Never, yeah, completely. Yeah. No. So everyone who knows him knows he's
means a lot to us
in Austin. That's the integrity thing was built in to those of us through the 90s and stuff. You know what I mean?
That's why I felt a little uncomfortable, kind of. Being like, oh,
yeah,
let me just, I have some music.
Like, but what you guys are doing is so authentic, and it's obviously from the heart. I mean, to me, like a band playing music, it seems like a rare thing in mainstream culture now, but there's probably more rock bands now than ever, you know, that just aren't being heard by everyone.
Right.
But, and it's when one comes along and it's very exciting, even just from one song, I mean... Honestly, like that song blew me away, and that didn't even have anything to do with those guys that I think work magic. As like Adrian and Spies are both like huge. They're huge to me. Like they're, you know, when I hear their work, I'm always blown away, and like I want to go work on, get better at what I do because of them. And that's probably one of the greatest gifts that they have.
Of course, you know, and it's just that like seemingly like untarnished like public presence as well as like. You know, these are figures we admired, and to humanize them
they're
in a way
men.
When they wanted to work with, in the way that they worked with us and wanted to was, I mean, just the most inspiring thing, you know? That's another reinforcing thing that helped us become who we were.
Yeah.
Being around that energy for sure, and just in the studio and having them there to guide is just, couldn't have asked for a better team.
Yeah. Those guys have soul, man.
Absolutely.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's how that ended up happening.
Yeah,
that's how it happened.
How many songs are on there?
There's 10 songs, okay. But we originally, when we pitched the record, there was about 15 songs, and we cut 5 or so, probably more,
yeah.
And we narrowed it down to 10.
Cool, so it's going to be a full-length album coming
out. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, and we are, you know, it's an indie R&B band, so I know you haven't heard the music yet, but a lot of falsetto and fuzz, a little bit of...
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love Alabama Shakes.
Yeah, Central Grooves.
I saw some comparisons. What else do you guys? Black Keys is a good.
Yeah.
Like just the rawness of what I saw in that video made sense. Sure, you guys could open for them on tour or something.
Yeah, well, we agree. We hope to.
Well, I'm not their booking.
Let them know.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Did you let them know?
Next time they're here playing, when Patrick Carney's playing my electronic Yamaha drum thing.
Oh. Yeah, if you don't mind, you know.
I'll let them know.
Yeah. We got one video.
Yeah,
that's all you need, man.
Big ones for us, though, yeah. It was Alabama Shakes, Duran Jones and the Indications, Jack White, Vampire Weekend, D'Angelo.
D'Angelo comes up with a lot. That's D'Angelo comes up a lot with musicians. And I never sunk my teeth into him. He never sucked his teeth into me. I don't know what happened with me and D'Angelo, but there's a lot of people that like...
Give it another listen.
I think I'd need to.
Man. Yeah, it'll stay with you. And he was huge. But yeah, those were who I would say were some of the major influences. Ian, do you have any other?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Where are you guys from? Like, where are you from, Daniel?
So I grew up I was between Dominican Republic and then Amarillo, Texas, which are, you know, like the same place.
my brother just lived in the Dominican for like 3 years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was he doing there?
He was working for this company that was making... aluminum, or maybe he wasn't making them, he was importing. He was the person that distributed aluminum things for cigars, those little aluminum tubes. Yeah,
that's everyone's job there, so
exactly. That bananas are big there,
right?
Is sugar cane big there?
Sugar cane's huge, main export, sugar cane and
baseball,
cocoa leaves, baseball. You know, they provide 33% of the MLB's baseball players.
Did you have an accent?
No, I think I've always had the lack of an accent. Okay. I think I have no like colloquial like indications as to where I'm from.
Yeah.
But maybe somebody listening can correct me and say that I sound like I'm from Montana.
No, you don't sound like Montana.
Not Montana, definitely not.
South Korea.
No.
Not there either.
No, you do. There is some kind of accent, right?
Yeah, it's subtle.
I have to confirm with another white
dude. I, you know...
What about you, man?
I guess I'm used to the voice. I don't even take me back to 5 years ago when I first heard you talk, maybe. But I it's hard to discern now. He just sounds like Daniel now.
Yeah, you sound like Daniel. Yeah. So what, when you say you grew up between the Dominican Republic and Amarillo.
So actually all of my family's in the Dominican Republic, right. With excluding one uncle in Spain. But so I still go 2 or 3 times a year, probably more. When I was growing up, I'd probably spend 3 or 4 months out of the year there.
Okay.
So, and then going back and forth from West Texas, where my parents were. So my parents immigrated here when they were 30 years ago. All right. Okay. I'm 26 now. Okay. So 4 years before I landed on Earth. So
they came here from Dominican Republic.
Yeah, man. They made a little tour, you know, New York, Detroit, all the fun places, and then ended up in sweet, you know, in God's backyard, Amarillo, Texas.
Why did they end up there?
Honestly, I mean, there was a community of certain, you know,
yeah, there's
Hispanic culture that they had gone to school with back in Dominican Republic, and you know, they found peace with that, and then, well, they just recently moved here to Georgetown, so it's cool to be around.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. What did they do? What did your?
They're physicians. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So straight up, I would not be alive.
If so my medicals.
Parents weren't doctors. So medicals. I would not be alive if they weren't doctors or my parents.
My maternal grandfather, he passed away a couple years ago. That awesome looking dude over there.
Yeah, what a sharp dude.
Yeah, pretty cool dude. He was a doctor and came from a family like his dad was a doctor. His mother was a midwife. He and his brother are doctors. All three of his brother's sons are doctors. All of their kids are doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And like then he had 4 daughters that were like, oh yeah, we're just doctors.
We want to do art.
Doctor this, bro. Yeah. And then like I'm the oldest grandson.
Yeah, that's me.
And he would dress me up. I can show you these photos. They're pretty crazy. Like he had medical coats made for me when I was 4.
Wow.
And had a stethoscope and like cut it, the tube, so I'd have real shit. Like other kids had like the Fisher Price shit, and I had like...
Did you put some like Black Flag patches on it and some Van Halen and stuff?
No. That was like pre-Van Halen and Black Flag, man. Yeah. That was like early 70s. But anyway. Okay. So the doctor thing. So or was that, were they like, hey, Daniel, what do you think? You think you might want to...
They never really like pushed me into it. It was more so that the resources that were always available, like... I was doing rounds when I was like, I could have done rounds when I was 15 and 16 years old, you know, and like some of these, you know, pre-resources that are only accessible to those who were, I was having, and I was always inclined at science. So I thought that's what I was going to do. So I was in an honors program at pre-med at UT for like 2.5 years before I realized, I was like, man, I am sad. And yeah. I switched out.
I mean, is that a tough talk to go have with your parents? Like, oh, I know, yeah. So check it out, guys.
This 20-year Play-Doh you've been like forming into something just got funny.
You gotta hear this tune I wrote with my friend Ian.
What do you guys think?
It's gonna be really good.
Do you get it?
What did they say? Well, because Latin culture, especially like the father's side, is to not be like, oh, look, he's drawing pictures.
You know what I mean? No, like, yeah.
They, I used to get screamed at for that shit when I was a kid.
they were supportive because, you know, they obviously wanted me to ensure that there was a future in what I was doing,
mm-hmm.
because they are, you know, very much so that cloth that we've been describing.
Right.
But at the same time, they knew that, like, ever since I was little, the way I coped with existing was, like, writing. And I'd always write, you know, poems or speeches or anything. I wrote. And they knew that I had this outlet, and that's actually what sang to me. Like, I would sing all the time, you know, to myself, but I just didn't even imagine music as an actual career choice. And not because of their, you know, neglect or them, you know, pushing me down in any way, but instead because they didn't grow up with that as the option for their own career.
Right.
You know, and it isn't any kind of negative, you know, cloud over them. It's just like that they didn't imagine that as a profitable career for them, and so they didn't enlighten that to me. But they did encourage me to pursue, you know, the voice that I heard in my head that, you know, created music all the time, and they've been supportive so far. But it was tough initially to go to your parents and say, hey, guys, so these last 3 years have been fun, and by fun, I mean shitty. And now I want to make art.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, dude, you did it. And I'm sure,
did it.
They like the album? You played some
stuff
for them?
Yeah, they're stoked about it. They still, you know...
When they first saw you play, were they like... Because you hadn't grown up doing it, so they must have just been like...
It's just like, what the...
Is that our son?
Yeah.
What happened to the Play-Doh?
What happened?
What happened to the plane?
Went through the fun house. You know, it got the hair and everything. Hair. Yeah,
did get the hair.
Someone ate half the plate.
It's not edible.
What
it's
about you, mess. Ian, man? Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm from Austin.
You are?
Haven't
born
left.
And raised?
Born and raised, yeah.
I've had a couple guys in here born and raised lately.
Lucky enough.
It's like a unicorn at this
it
point.
It very much is. Just lucky enough, my parents decided to go to college here and never left. So I was lucky enough to be born here.
Did you grow up going to things like Blues on the Green and shit like that with your parents? And did they go to shows? Were they?
They're definitely a huge reason why I'm into music.
Cool.
Always, you know, telling me, not forcing me to do it. I mean, I loved to do it, but I started off on classical guitar when I was about 7.
Wow.
And I've been playing that, still play it, but that's what I did in UT. I studied classical guitar for a couple years there, and I did the music business program. That was there. You had to play an instrument in that program. Mm-hmm. But I'd been playing for a long time, always been around music. They'd take me to Liberty Lunch.
Yeah, of course.
I'd go see Jonathan Richmond there.
Yeah.
And he definitely resonated with me as a kid. And
really?
They were just funny. So catchy. I remember one time, don't remember. I'm told one time, because I was maybe 3 or 4 years old.
He's a steel
great
trap.
Great memory. Nothing gets past me. Yeah. Jonathan had a show at Liberty Lunch, and he'd had a song on Sesame Street. I think I'm a Little Airplane was the song he had on Sesame Street. And I had a chance to meet him. I was with my dad, I guess. Again, this is all being told to me. I don't remember it. And Jonathan asks me, do you have like a favorite song or something? And I go, Cappuccino Bar, which was one of his songs about just really needing cappuccino. And I just loved that song's got like a energy, like a kind of a Dick Dale breakdown in there. And I just always loved that, and I would play it on my plastic guitar whenever that part would come
around.
And I would just go crazy to that. And so I was Cappuccino Bar, and my dad always says his eyes, he was like, whoa, like, why is this 4-year-old kid like Cappuccino Bar? Funnily enough, I don't really drink coffee or anything, but I loved the song Cappuccino Bar. And then he went up and during his set said, this one's for the younger generation. He played Cappuccino Bar. Again, that's all alleged.
We talked
to my parents and asked them if that actually happened, but it's a pretty detailed story.
We want to encourage the audience to buy our record, Cappuccino Bar, for the young generation.
No affiliation with the Jonathan Richmond song,
I promise. He had no part in it.
So ended up at UT as well. That's where I met Daniel, through our friend Chris.
So wait, did you play in bands in high school and shit?
Sort of. I was kind of into sports in high school. I mean, I played, but I was on my basketball team. Definitely had some bands in middle school. High school, I played with my brother a little bit. We would kind of jam, and then I tried to kind of do this EP with him. We're Ian Green, so we call ourselves the Brothers Green, like the Brothers Grimm, the fairy tale guys, but they're Brothers Green. And you know, I was just obsessed with the White Stripes and Black Keys and stuff. So he was a really good drummer when he was in high school. Actually, he doesn't drum so much anymore, but
isn't that weird when a guy doesn't do it anymore and you're like, yeah, the guys from my first, that's my first gig right there. I was 1983.
That's a good look though, man.
1983, my friend Kayla's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
I was 14.
Is this Kayla on the right side?
No, that's my mom. She was at the gig, and she obviously had fashion. Like, she's passed away, but before Kanye even thought about that. Like, when Kanye was a little kid, she was rocking Kanye glasses at her son's first gig at Kayla's birthday party.
That's awesome.
You want to hear something amazing?
Yes.
Yes.
It's my first gig playing Kayla's birthday party. In January, I'm playing Kayla's wedding.
What?
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. That's great.
We're friends, believe it or not. We've been friends. Oh. She's been giving me work for years.
I had this kid play my birthday party a while ago. He was great. I need to bring him back. I haven't seen him in 25 years.
No, we kept up.
I'd like to think the other way.
Yeah, you know. Hey, what are you going to do? Well, are there bands in town that you used to go see that you were into?
Yeah, I definitely, around, I guess, when Lonely Land was out, we'd go see Bob Schneider a lot. When that 2000, 2001.
Yeah.
So I've seen Bob Schneider just so often. And he's, you know, what he's been able to do in this city is incredible. So I definitely grew up watching him.
How old were you when you started going to see him?
I was young.
He was that little baby with headphones.
Yeah,
That will mess up your mind. That guy at too early of an age.
Places were crowded, but I don't know. Going to the first couple ACLs, like, it's nothing like it is today. You just walk in there and like Los Lobos are playing and. It was just a lot easier to get around. I never felt threatened or scared. I don't think I'd want to take my kid to ACL
There's like 30,000 people more now.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So whenever people hear that, I'm kind of like, okay, but I was never just out there alone in the middle of a field, just making my way. Ian, here's the schedule. Yeah. Got to check out these bands. But they would always take me to the things they thought were important, which ultimately were huge influences on me. I saw David Byrne at La Zona Rosa.
Oh, yeah, dude. Hello.
When I was...
How old are your parents? My age? Like 50?
Yeah, mid-50s. And they brought my brother, too. He's 3 years younger than me. I want to say I was 7 or 6. They brought my brother. He was tired because David Byrne didn't go until 10. And we were in the front, so they put him on the stage to have a nice nap. And he was just sleeping on the front of the little Zona Rosa stage right in front of David Byrne. And he was just looked down at my brother for about 2 seconds and just kept going.
Yeah.
Didn't care. He's like, sure.
He seems like a guy that would be cool if you wanted to put your baby on a stage.
Yeah. He was totally fine with it. I feel like that would be
not my pedal board.
I'm not sure I would do it. So I just stepped on my brother.
Instead of the wah-wah pedal, it's the wham-wham pedal.
That's good. Yeah.
That was quick.
Sorry. Well, it was quick. Terrible dad joke. Yeah. I don't even have kids, and I'm throwing dad jokes at you guys.
Well, if you ever do, that's perfect.
I'll remember that one.
That concert's definitely another one that stuck. I know it's not a local Austin band, but that one absolutely stuck with me my whole life, because I think it was also a school night. And the other one is David Bowie at the Backyard. Going out there, I just remember him. I do remember this, because I maybe was 8 or 9. And he came out just completely in red and just owned in everything and then just like counts off and Rebel starts.
Oh, God.
And I just remember being a kid and being like, oh, fuck. Like,
What's
happening here? This is incredible. I'm super happy that my parents were cool and let me go to these things.
How old were you when you saw that?
I think I was 9.
Okay. I was like 14 when I saw him. It was like the Let's Dance, the Serious Moonlight Tour. I have a great story about that show.
Mm-hmm.
Not my story, but a friend of mine that was working a bar at La Zona Rosa, or not La Zona, at a Backyard.
For Backyard. Bowie.
He's setting up the bar a few hours before the show when they're sound checking. The band's sound checking, and Bowie's singing for a minute, and then he doesn't see Bowie anymore, but Bowie was in shorts or something, and he's like, all of a sudden, Bowie runs by. He's jogging the perimeter. He's doing his exercise to, you know, before the show, whatever. And he jogs back around again, and he stops in front of my friend John's booth where he's setting up his shit. And he's standing there, and he's, like, watching the band. He turns around. He's like, hey, I'm David.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, that's why I'm here, bro. He's like, hey, I'm David. He's like, hey, I'm John. He's like, God, don't they sound great? That's giving me goosebumps. It almost makes me want to start crying. Like, he's like, aren't they great? He's like, I'm a really lucky guy, aren't I? That's all he said to him. Like, look at my band. Aren't they great? Like, I'm a really lucky guy. There's no reason for him.
He loves his band.
When I heard that shit, I was just like, oh my God, he's even cooler than I dreamed.
Oh, yeah.
But just that sort of level of like, there's no reason for him to even love what he does anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? But he loved it.
Right. And to feel it so deeply.
God damn it, man. That's what I'm in it for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. For life. That's unlike those John Spies and Adrian Casella guys, those fly-by-night guys with no talent.
I don't know what we've gotten into. There was no jogging at all in the recording of the album.
Well, you guys don't need to jog yet.
Ooh.
Yeah,
well, he was like 65 years old or something when they played that show or something, wasn't he?
Probably.
Yeah.
Because that was...
I'm so jealous.
Jesus.
Mm. Maybe 2004 or something like that.
Oh, well, he was younger, but yeah.
But yeah,
the pre-heart attack or post-heart attack, maybe? Didn't he have a heart attack?
I think he did. It might have been pre.
Yeah, whatever.
Well,
any bands you guys like now that are going on around town?
I think the ones that are the most impressionable to me were the Black Pumas, even just last year, before I knew any single person in that band.
Sure.
you know, just when I was still mustering up the courage to believe myself as an artist, I was seeing them, and it kind of just blazed this trail in front of me, not because I'm trying to follow in their footsteps, but instead because I saw this person who was around my age, someone, Eric Burton, with such a powerful voice, and it made a huge impression on me, you know? It was just, I don't know, it was a voice like unlike anything I'd ever heard before.
Yeah.
But still somehow familiar, you know? Just like he is.
Yeah.
And you know what you mean. They were huge for me. Shaky Graves was huge.
Yeah, he's for great, me. I like that. This is a sweet dude too, man.
Yeah.
Shaky Graves, good dude.
Even this is kind of an odd story, but I was at a show before we had even written a song. It was a Mama Hawk show. Mm-hmm. It was a great band. I'm friends with
some of them. I need to see them. I don't know them yet. I've heard their name a lot.
They are. They're super talented. And I was talking to my buddy Brandon, who was next to me. I was like, man, these guys are so good. And he looked at me and he goes, they're really good. But he goes, you know, you could do this too if you tried. And I was like, what? And he goes, you should get up there and sing. And it was at that show that I remember. It was at Swan Dive. And it's kind of funny. About a year and a half later, I'm going to Swan Dive this weekend to play with them, which is kind of awesome. A poetic moment.
Yeah,
you know,
that's great.
And they were big because of that moment for me, as well as because they're talented.
Yeah, Swan Dive is that place by Elysium.
Right? Yeah, I think it's connected to Barbarella's.
Right. Yeah. I just went there the other day. I've seen some comedy shows there, which is weird, during the comedy festival.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm big on stand-up comedy, too.
You are?
Huge. Listen to it every day.
Do you go to shows here?
I don't go to a lot of shows. I just listen to it in the mornings, kind of to get the gears going, and I don't know. I think it helps keep me sharp. However dull I am, it helps keep me sharp.
Yeah. What do you guys do for work?
I work for they're called Emmis Communication.
Emmis?
They own KLBJ. FM.
Yeah.
101X. So I do some marketing there for them.
I'm friends with those folks.
Yeah. I work really closely with Beto.
Yeah. Beto's an old friend of mine.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Tell him I said hello.
I will. Yeah.
I love
that
dude.
He's been super helpful with us as well, just kind of telling people about us, spreading the word. He's how we know Jenny.
Yeah. He's been a good friend to us.
So he's been really nice, really helpful. So, yeah. That's what I do.
Eric Tesmer is great.
He's great.
Yeah. So talented. Yeah. He was
that
another
guy's
one.
On fucking fire, man.
I've been to a few of his shows.
On fire. Yeah.
A year ago, 2 years ago. I mean, I was big on his music.
When he's at Scoot, mm-hmm. It's a great show.
Oh, yeah. I missed that.
That was awesome.
He, you know who else she's working with that I just had on the other day? Leon the Third? Those guys are great, man.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with them. No.
I wasn't either.
Oh, well, we're going to play some music after
then
this.
Then some dude gave me a bathing suit. He owns a company that makes clothes, too. I told him I like the bathing suits, and he asked me my size. Apparently a bathing suit is coming.
That's pretty cool merch right there.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Anyway.
Time.
Good dude. Yeah. Guys, is there anything I'm missing? The show with the Black Pumas is on August 24th, and that's at the Mohawk. Anything else around that time? You guys doing any traveling?
Not at the moment. We have stuff lined up for the fall that we just can't announce yet. But definitely follow us on Instagram. We're at Nane the Band, N-A-N-E, the band.
Yeah, really exciting announcement in October. Really exciting announcement in November. We have videos coming out that are being produced like where I work that are extremely talented people as I work in film and music.
Awesome. What do you do?
So I'm the brand manager for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre horror franchise.
Oh, no shit.
But I work in very close relation to a company called Onion Creek Productions.
Yeah.
Super wonderful people. You know, shout out to Aaron Brown and Pat Cassidy's actually my boss.
Oh,
who
cool.
also manages bands
in
town.
Yeah, nice
Wild
dude.
Child and Whiskey Shivers. Wonderful
humans. I
think
humans. Pat was on a... He was on a panel that I moderated.
No way.
Like a couple years ago or something.
Yeah,
for Austin Music Foundation.
I see that sweet man every day. But yeah, so they're helping us out with our videos. So we're lucky to have that. And we've got the pieces coming together,
man. You're dating the chick whose dad produces your album. You guys get the one... Like, first of all, you're super talented, okay? Just from that one song. But I assume that you must be even better. So, the other thing is, you know the right place at the right time thing, don't you?
Yeah, we...
accidentally. I mean...
Hey,
the
you
way
know
all
what?
Collided is
windows,
pretty
windows open.
Yeah,
that's how things happen. And you know, some people, like, you're not doing this, but you know, like, a lot of people are always like, oh, this is, you know, it's a shortcut, and this is bullshit, because it's a shortcut. You know, the thing is, as long as you're talented, then who gives a fuck how you got there, really?
Right.
Because the Beatles, and I don't know if you guys know this story, but it's been documented in many of their documentaries, their manager borrowed money from his dad and bought 20,000 copies of Please Please Me so that the Beatles would chart.
Oof. Yeah. He cheated. I did not know that.
And that's how people were like, oh, what's this song? I mean, it turned out, luckily, the song was amazing.
Yeah.
Thanks and for the band turned out to change the entire world. Yeah. But we probably... I mean, maybe we would have, but it that guy...
He probably sold a few of those 20,000 copies, too.
Yeah, I'm sure he got his money back like a couple weeks after
can
that.
We have a few? Nope.
No. Here you go, Dad. What's the big?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyway, people can find you guys at nanetheband.com, and also you're NaneTheBand on
Instagram, as well, okay. And Facebook.
Facebook as well.
Yeah, NaneTheBand.
NaneTheBand, baby.
That's who we are, baby.
You know how to do it.
Thank you guys for listening to us, dude, and for having us over here.
Thank you guys for being on the show, really, and it was a real pleasure meeting you. What's the name of the album, do you know?
We're kind of dancing with that right now.
And it's going to be out 2020, no date yet.
It'll be either out in January or February, but it's coming in hot.
Early 2020, yeah. All right. It's coming in
hot. Early 2020.
All right, we'll come back in December or something. We'll talk again.
We'll be happy to
great
be
having
here.
You guys on.
Thank you. Thank
you. Daniel Sahad and Ian Green from the band Nane. Find them at nanetheband.com. They don't have any music online except for that one song that you're hearing right there, Do It Alone. You can find it as a video on YouTube, but they have a new album dropping in 2020. And don't forget, gang, you can see him on August 24th at Mohawk with Black Pumas. I had a great time talking to Daniel and Ian. I want to thank them for coming by. It was great getting to know them. Gang, while you're out there checking out nanetheband.com, don't forget that you can find this podcast, wherever it is that you stream and download podcasts, be it Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, Android Podcasts, you'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday, me talking to another artist and chatting the day away. What's going on? All right. Hey, thank you for listening. I hope you guys all have a great, great, great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Let's hear some more music from Nane. Let's get down.
You to go.
I'm a fallout girl, but you're bringing me.